Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, speech to a joint session of the U.S. Congress yesterday, March 3rd. Obviously, the speech was controversial. You all know the story. He was invited here by House Speaker John Boehner. The president apparently didn't know about it, although the prime minister said he meant no disrespect to the president. The president, the vice president, and many Democrats apparently took it that way, choosing not to attend the speech. Nancy Pelosi didn't attend the speech. She described the prime minister as, quote, full of condescension. She has reported this morning, I read, she said she was almost in tears at this man's insult to America. This is Nancy Pelosi. You know, the we have to pass it in order to understand what's in it. That Nancy Pelosi. Elizabeth Warren, her political ambitions and her finger in the air, waited until the last minute and then decided not to attend. Interestingly, though, Harry Reid did attend, coming from his hospital bed to hear the prime minister, their old friend, you know. He was recognized in the audience by Mr. Netanyahu. Well, the speech was carried live on C-SPAN, and I had a chance to watch it. I think it could be one of the more important speeches that we've heard in a long, long time. Certainly in Congress, it's been a long time since anything other than hot air blew through that organization. Mr. Obama did not appreciate the prime minister's visit, it seems. He doesn't want anything to interfere with his negotiations with Iran, where it appears he is ready to concede to Iran's becoming a nuclear-armed nation. And that is, of course, why Mr. Netanyahu came to speak to Congress, to persuade Congress to do something to stop the deal between Iran and the United States, where the United States signs off on Iran's nuclear ambitions. But I rather like the speech, and I'm certain now why President Obama hates Mr. Netanyahu so passionately. It is, I believe, because the prime minister is everything the president is not. He is a man of courage who is ready to defend his country against all enemies, a man who obviously loves his country with passion and its people, and he is not afraid to say so. If you don't like Mr. Netanyahu, well, you have a good example of his opposite number in President Barack Hussein Obama. Just help yourself, folks. But let's look at what the prime minister actually said. He said, the alliance between the United States and Israel must always remain above politics. Little does he know that there is nothing in America but politics. He came to speak out about Iran's quest for nuclear weapons, he said. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, tweets in English that Israel must be annihilated. That would get my attention if I were the Israeli prime minister, folks. He said that the people of Iran are heirs to one of the world's great civilizations, but in 1979, they were hijacked by religious zealots. They seek to fulfill the ideological mission of jihad. The Ayatollah exhorted his followers to export the revolution throughout the world. America's founding document promises life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but Iran's founding document pledges death, tyranny, and the pursuit of jihad. Iran just last week carried out a military exercise, blowing up a mock U.S. aircraft carrier just last week. Iran now controls the capitals of Damascus, Beirut, Baghdad, and Sana'a. They preach death to America, the same America they call the great Satan. He said something that I wish President Obama could recognize. That is, and I quote, Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. One calls itself the Islamic Republic. The other calls itself the Islamic State. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire, first on the region, then on the entire world. They just disagree among themselves who will be the ruler of that empire, end quote. Well, he said The greatest danger facing our world is the marriage of militant Islam with nuclear weapons, and I will agree that it is indeed a scary nightmare. The deal being negotiated would all but guarantee that Iran gets those nuclear weapons. Iran has proven that it can't be trusted, he said. That deal would restrict their activities, not eliminate, but restrict them for 10 years. Then it would open the door. He asked why. Why would anyone make this deal? Well, that's a very good question. This deal would spark a nuclear arms race, he said, in the Middle East as other countries scramble to catch up and to acquire nuclear weapons. Countries, he didn't say this, but I point out countries like Saudi Arabia and the other Emirate states. We can make a better deal, he said, by insisting on three things. First, Iran must stop its aggression against its neighbors. Two, Iran must stop supporting terrorism around the world. And three, Iran must stop threatening to annihilate Israel. These seem pretty reasonable to me. It's a bad deal, he said. It's a very bad deal. But the alternative is not war, as many people think. It is simply a better deal. In closing, he said the days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies are over. For the first time in 100 generations, the Jewish people can defend themselves. And he said they will do so even if Israel has to stand alone. He said it will stand. He pointed to the image of Moses up in the gallery. This is the gallery of the U.S. Congress, folks, where there is an image of Moses, the lawgiver. And he said that Moses gave us a message that has steeled our resolve for over thousands of years. And he quoted from Moses, quote, be strong and resolute, neither fear nor dread them, end quote. Finally, folks, Mr. Netanyahu, obviously a courageous and inspirational leader who loves his country. He is the opposite of our leader. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.